If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Ukraine conflict. The President of the United States traveling to Kyiv boldly and bravely, traveling to Warsaw, to make a very clear speech that Ukraine is to be supported by NATO indefinitely until the win. And then meeting with the Bucharest Nine, the 9 frontline states once under Soviet boot, now by Russian threat, most concerned that after Ukraine comes us. I welcome Bradley Bowman. Brad is a senior director of the Center on Military and Political Power at the FTD. Former Senate Armed Forces, Armed Services and Foreign Relations Committee advisor, as well as a active duty, once upon a time, officer in the United States Army, a Black Hawk pilot, and an assistant professor at West Point. So I call on the professor. Brad, Professor Bowman, I want to understand some technical language here. What are ATACMs? Because in a recent piece at FDD, you and your colleagues have called for ATACMs in theater. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John, and thanks so much for the opportunity to talk with you again. And thanks for the opportunity, frankly, to talk about the Army Tactical Missile System, or ATACMS. Actually, we've been calling for the Biden administration to provide Ukraine the ATACMS going back to last summer. So this has been something we've been focused on for a long time. To understand why it would be so valuable to Kyiv, it's important to understand the missile's capabilities. This is a missile that has a 500, depending on what variant you're talking about, and there's details here and there, but generally speaking, it's a 500-pound warhead missile with a 300-kilometer range. What Ukraine is using, what they have from the United States currently, is the guided multiple launch rocket system missile that's being fired by the HIMARS, the High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, which has about an 85-kilometer range. So if you do the difference between 85 kilometers and 300 kilometers, you begin to understand the value of this missile combined with its very impressive precision. It would allow you to range additional targets that are going to be very helpful in defeating the Russian offensive and enabling a Ukrainian counteroffensive.
What is the range that is important here? You mentioned in your article the Kerch Bridge. What is that, yeah, and how can the ATACMS answer the bridge?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, depending where the ATACMS would be fired from once provided to Ukraine, our research here, my research and with my colleagues, is that the Ukrainians would be able to strike the Kerch Bridge. The Kerch Bridge is this very important line of communications that allows Russia to resupply its forces in southern Ukraine via Crimea. It's really the primary route. It was damaged in the past by a truck bomb, but it's operating now. A few ATACMS could take that out. And that would be a real logistical blow to the Russians, particularly as they try to support Russian forces in the south, where Ukraine is largely expected to conduct its counteroffensive. That would make them undertake more time-consuming and difficult means to resupply their forces and make them more reliant on railroads, which are not nearly as efficient and more vulnerable to attack themselves.
You also mentioned in your article the fleet in Sevastopol, the fleet in the Crimea. Is that in range of ATACMS from the southern part of Ukraine?
Yeah, our calculations say that, again, depending where they'd be fired from, but making reasonable assumptions based on the current line of conflict, you know, where the forces are positioned, that ATACMS would provide Kyiv the means to target any Russian vessels in the port of Sevastopol and hit that Black Sea fleet. And that would obviously be a very big deal. It would also allow Kyiv to target Russian logistical nodes, command and control posts, and other high-value targets. And what that does, as we saw with the Gimlers that I referenced earlier, it forces them to pull those things back further from the front lines, making them less efficient in defense and less efficient in the offense. And that would just push them back even further.
And these are specifically targeted weapons, correct? They hit what you aim at.
Very precise, very precise. So we're talking a lot about the range, but they also bring great precision as well. Exactly right.
And that would relieve what is apparently a burden that's overwhelming the U.S. and NATO, which is the expenditure of ammunition by the Ukrainian forces firing those big weapons, the 155s. The ATACMS would achieve all of that with very efficiently and without as many risks to the shooters. Is that correct?
Well said. As you and I have discussed before, the United States is conducting what Mark Montgomery and I have called months ago a munitions capacity production crisis. The Ukrainians are firing the 155 millimeter shells faster than we can produce them. The Army's trying to increase from 15,000 a month production to 70,000 a month, but that's going to take a lot of time. We're trying to increase by about a third the production of the Gimlers. But here we have this missile system that is available with precision and range to make a real difference on the battlefield, and the Biden administration refuses to provide it.
Now we come to the other part. You just introduced it. What is the hesitation? What can an ATACMS do that a truck bomb didn't already do to the Kerch Bridge, or that the Ukrainians didn't already do to the flagship of the Sevastopol fleet? They sank it. So why would this change the Russian opinion of the war?
Right. It's a great question. You know, my bottom line answer, we've seen a variety of excuses, frankly, over time. We've seen this dynamic with the administration. There's much to praise in what they've done over the last year, for sure. But we've also seen this dynamic of no, maybe yes, that often takes months to play out. And in the meantime, Ukrainians are dying, fighting to defend their homes against this unprovoked invasion. I think the bottom line is it's a fear of provoking Putin. And to that, I say we're already witnessing the largest invasion in Europe since World War II. We already see the Ukrainians conducting attacks in Crimea. What are we worried about? A nuclear attack against NATO? I mean, give me a break. Look at the incident that unfolded in Poland. He doesn't want any peace of NATO because that's a peace of the United States, and that's more than he can handle. And so it really comes down to this fear of provoking Putin, which I believe is overstated and could be managed by simply saying, hey, Ukraine, you can't use these ATACMS outside of Ukraine. You can't use them to attack into Russia, which frankly hardly seems fair because Russia is doing that. But as a means of helping Ukraine and mitigating an escalation, a wider war that we don't want, you simply put that caveat on it, and that allows them to target Russian forces, including in Russian-occupied Crimea.
You have also written with a colleague, Lieutenant Colonel James Hessen, about tanks, about main battle tanks. Where are they, and would they change the status of this apparent stalemate in the Donbass?
Yes. So right now we're seeing a largely at risk of oversimplification, an artillery war of attrition. And I talked about how much munitions the Ukrainians are firing, and how that's kind of unsustainable, at least in the short term. What we need to transition this to is a maneuver warfare where you're conducting combined arms operations, which integrates infantry, artillery, armor, aviation, all these things. It's kind of hard to do that if you don't have enough tanks. The Soviet Russian origin tanks that Ukraine has relied on are wearing out and being destroyed. They need Western tanks. They've needed them for a long time. The problem is the West is going to provide Ukraine a petting zoo of tanks. And by that, I mean a large quantity in small numbers, which is not what Kyiv needs. Because each one of those different types of tanks, whether you're talking about the Challengers from the British, the Abrams from us, or the Leopards 1s and 2s from Germany and other countries that have those German tanks, each of those are different tanks with different munitions, different logistical requirements, and a whole huge sustainment logistic maintenance tail that comes with them. They need large quantities of one type of tank. We've said it should be the Leopard 2.
Right now, we're told the Russians have prepared an offensive. Huge numbers, Brad. You've read the reports I have from London, from Moscow, from Kyiv. Do you see them anywhere in the surveillance that's available to civilians?
You know, my colleague John Hardy has been doing great work on this, and his recent analysis suggests we're starting to see kind of the early stages of what we would call a Russian offensive. But I'm not seeing the vast numbers that you're kind of talking about. Certainly, there are more forces there in Ukraine now. The mobilization has had some benefits for Putin, but these troops are badly battered. The ones that have been there for a while and the new ones are arriving are generally speaking almost pretty reliably lower in quality and, of course, lower in morale, because they've heard what's happened to their colleagues that have come before them. So that's the good news for those of us that want freedom to win in Ukraine. The bad news is Putin doesn't give a darn about their lives. He's going to grind this out. The Russian defense industrial base is on a wartime footing, right, and he's getting help from Iran.
Brad Bowman, Senior Director, Center on Military and Political Power at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, formerly an assistant professor at West Point. So I thank the professor. I'm John Bowman.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.